Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, another parable. So let us listen and read along and look for any words or phrases that stand out for us, or pictures, as you'll hopefully receive the picture as we read. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." And then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." May God bless our hearing and receiving of this parable, this holy scripture. Anything strike you this morning from that scripture or the story? Wait until I put manure around it and give it another year before you cut it down. Yeah, wait. I mean, to have, yeah, fertilizer. Ruby. A second chance, but just a second chance. Yeah. So we should make the best of those second chances. Yep. Anything else? Yes, Sue. Yeah. Let's care for those in need of second chances. Yes. We must repent. And this story comes right in the middle of, or right after, Jesus providing several teachings about the need to repent now, for the kingdom of God is near. Do you think they were worse offenders? Always? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Why do bad things happen? Why do innocent people, even children, suffer from natural disasters, senseless violence and wars, terrorist attacks, and simple accidents? Humans have been asking this question from time immemorial. That is one of the traits that sets us humans apart from animals, the capacity to find meaning in life. If we don't understand, then we try to make sense. We provide some order or meaning to an otherwise senseless existence. And that's a big part of religion. giving meaning to the occurrences of life. But unfortunately, religious people have often made some really bad judgments. I remember after 9/11, when we were all seeking meaning, and there were prominent religious voices who claimed that the attacks on the Twin Towers were God's wrath on the ACLU, the pagans, the abortionists, the feminists, and the gays, and the lesbian, and who knows. And we've heard similar words of judgment following the COVID pandemic, the California wildfires, hurricanes and tsunamis in Japan and the Indian Ocean. So how many find it difficult at times to not pass judgment on whose fault it is? It's a temptation. Those claims about God's judgment in some circumstances can be much more hurtful than helpful, such as in a time of loss, suggesting that God must have needed an angel, or God must want your loved one more than you do, or even everything happens for a reason. These statements can cause more pain than healing for a person grieving a loss. Oftentimes, a silent presence and a listening ear provide the best healing. And we should be careful about imposing our own meaning upon other people's lives and losses, and not be quick to pass judgment on others or God. In Jesus' time, the Jews had a long-held belief that people who suffered in life must have sinned against God in some way. The book of Job holds several examples of this judgment. Conversely, those who were prosperous and well-connected in society were obviously judged to be faithful to God, thus receiving their just rewards on earth, and thus justifying the status quo for the rich and powerful. In our scripture this morning, we see Jesus responding to these kinds of judgments. As I said, he had just concluded several teachings about the coming judgment of God and the urgent need to repent. When people asked him about some Galileans who had apparently been slaughtered by Roman soldiers while they were offering their sacrifices to God, Jesus responded, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Now, these were the same kinds of seemingly senseless tragedies that people today continue to try and find meaning in. Apparently, the Jews thought that these Galileans must have sinned in some way, and that probably the victims of the Tower of Siloam falling also fell under the judgment of God. But Jesus quickly refuted this premise, and I'll add my words, stuff happens. In this world, stuff happens. Tsunamis happen. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, senseless violence happens. Now, there may turn out that to be some correlation of human behavior, perhaps climate change or unrest in response to corruption or injustice. But if you or a loved one becomes a victim of any of these, Jesus seems to be telling us that sin is not necessarily the cause. Nor, if you are doing really well, financially or otherwise, would Jesus say lack of sin is apparent. Neither tragedy nor prosperity are legitimate grounds for judgment as sinful or righteous. Fortunately, though, as Jesus used these tragedies to teach a lesson, God can and does use any tragedy to make good things happen, no matter if sin might be involved or not. Stuff may happen, but God is still God. And God still makes good things happen even in the worst of situations. I believe that. So Jesus turned from this discussion to tell another parable about judgment. The man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." We see judgment approaching in this story. The man planted a fig tree and expected to enjoy good fruit, but none was forthcoming. We think this is a clear reference to the prophet Isaiah pronouncing God's judgment upon Israel before the exile. And the New Testament is very clear that one of Jesus' roles when he returns is to judge all people and all things. Jesus' job on earth and in heaven is to set the world into right relationship with God once and for all. So most New Testament writings place that decisive judgment at the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. The judgment has come. Sin has been judged. Forgiveness has been offered. Those who accept this judgment of forgiveness live in the kingdom of God. They are judged as forgiven and set free from sin and eternal death. They are not, however, set free from physical death. Darn. Each of us will die. That is a fact of life. But we all live under the eternal grace and forgiveness of God if we choose to follow Jesus. We will be judged, eternally forgiven. But at the end of this life on earth, will we be judged as fruitful? Jesus is asking. Now, the man who planted this fig tree then judged it to be lacking and deserving of being cut down. The tree's moment of demise had apparently come. Looking at this parable right after Jesus' teachings about judgment and sin, we can't believe that Jesus judged the tree to be sinful, only that the tree had reached the end of its shortened life. Like those Galileans, not sinful, but victims, and the victims of the tower falling. Like each of us, they died, and we will someday. But this tree was not producing fruit. The tree was in danger of living its entire existence with no fruit to show for it. So far, it was wasting the soil it was growing in. Now the gardener, however, stepped into this parable and asked for mercy for the tree from the tree's owner. One more year, a second chance to be productive before that judgment came. Perhaps we can see a sinful Israel or a sinful humanity in this tree, and Jesus, or God the Father, or the Holy Spirit, intervening to forestall judgment, offering a second chance, the mercy of God. In the Gospel of Luke, we need to hear the author's expectation that judgment was coming soon, is coming soon. Jesus would return any day, they believed. The final judgment, the setting right of all creation, would happen at any moment. It was already past due, they believed, is already past due. One could not expect another reprieve like this tree did. How long will God's mercy extend? One more day? In each of Jesus' teachings about judgment, he tells us to be ready. Bear fruit now, or you may face the end of this life without ever bearing significant fruit. What will people say about your life? How will this world be better because of the fruit you grew in your life? What stories will be told about your faithfulness and love? What will you do today if it is your last? Now, last Sunday, we remembered loved ones who have been fruitful in their lives. They took the opportunity that life on earth provides each of us. They served God. They served their families. They shared the love of God and helped to fill this world with God's love. They bore fruit in their lives that will be remembered. They have made this world a better place. I know this is true for all of you as well. But Jesus' consistent message in the Gospel of Luke remains, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Bear fruit now while you can, while this fleeting moment of life is still before you. Our merciful God has given you us today. Repent today. Turn toward God and God's purposes and bear fruit today. Don't leave behind a life of judgment and division that bears no fruit for the kingdom or even a day today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you recognize that list? The fruit of the Spirit, according to the Apostle Paul. Paul suggests for us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And what fruit does God want you to bear today? Like that fig tree, we have been given the opportunity one more day. Each of us has an opportunity while we're still breathing, no matter our age, no matter our training, no matter our financial resources, no matter our skills or passions. In this life on earth, will you make a difference today? Will you bear fruit before it's too late? What will you do with the gift of today? And our take-home question, how can we as First Christian Church, bear fruit that will make a difference today and the days to come. Will you pray with me? Gentle, loving God, we're so grateful for your gift of mercy, of love that walks with us, that picks us up when we fall, that dusts us off and shows us the way one more time to serve and to love and to bear the fruit, the goodness, the love of God. We pray, O God, that you would just continue to walk with us, comfort us, but also challenge us with the opportunities that you've given us. One more day today, and we trust one more day tomorrow, and we ask you to show us how we can best bear fruit. As we saw Jesus each and every day, when we read his stories, the love he shared, the hope he inspired, the gifts of your presence. Oh God, we pray in his name and trust in you, Father, Jesus, your Son, the Holy Spirit, all one God working through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.